Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Well, stand by, Swifties, because unless you've been living on another planet, you will know that Taylor Swift is coming to Dublin, but not until the end of June next year. So that must mean plenty of time to buy your tickets. Not so, because thousands of people have been registered to buy tickets. Some have been told that they will be invited to buy their tickets on July 20th. But if you bought Taylor Swift's Midnights album last year, you can try to buy earlier on July 14th. There are even different hours for purchasing for the different gigs, and we still don't even know how much the tickets are going to be. It is dizzying. So I got DJ, journalist and pop culture enthusiast Louise Breton to join me in studio. I'm lost. I'm so confused. Can you give us some class of an explainer as to how the tickets to Taylor Swift work?
Okay, so technically the tickets are already gone because the tickets have been allocated to people with these pre-sale codes. So nobody else will be able to buy a ticket now. So if you've got a last minute decision to buy a ticket for yourself or your child or whatever, no chance, because the codes have been allocated for the individual tickets, and whoever has them, we received them on Wednesday. I was one of the lucky few thousand who received them, but that doesn't mean that I will also get a ticket. So I think the way that this has...
You've got a ticket, but you won't necessarily get to the gig because you're sort of... I'm confused. So you've been... You get selected to participate.
Participate, yeah. The way that they're using a technology called Tiki Tech, which is, they're saying, is kind of more like a lottery rather than a queuing system, which most of us are used to through buying tickets online or on the phone through Ticketmaster or wherever it is that we're buying, where you can say with Harry Styles, when his tickets for Slane Castle went on sale last year, when you got into Ticketmaster at 9 a.m. when the tickets went on sale, you could see that you were 3,000, 10,000, 50,000 people deep into the queue, which in a way is a good way to see how far you've got to go, or is a good, or is a good way to deter people who aren't bothered waiting around. But now that system of queuing that we're so used to is gone, because when Taylor Swift released her tickets for the American leg of this tour, which started last month, Ticketmaster completely crashed. She said to herself, "It's very difficult for me to trust an outside entity with these relationships and loyalties, and excruciating for me to just watch mistakes happen with no recourse." So for as big as a stadium tour is that she's planning with as much detail, it was frustrating for her to see that people's first experience with her concert with American Ticketmaster was a disaster. So I presume that this new system has been entered to try and avoid a mishap like that.
It sounds like a Black Mirror episode or some sort of weird sort of social documentary. It's very, well, it's very complicated. So what happens next if you've been lucky to be in that pre-sale selection? What's the timeline?
So it's like you're getting married or something. So this week is when we found out that we got engaged. Yeah. So
no guarantees of getting down the aisle, but you got engaged.
Yes, those with the ring on their finger, but not down the aisle. We will know on the 20th of July if we actually end up getting tickets when they officially go on sale. But it transpired that on Thursday and Friday, just gone, that people who had bought her current album, Midnights, they received a pre-sale code that will give them access to buy tickets on Friday, the 14th of July, which is next Friday. And not everybody who actually bought an album received a pre-sale code. Some people who didn't buy albums received a pre-sale code. So there's some sort of fan club system maybe that's also in place, Taylor Nation, I think it's called, where some people got their pre-sale codes through that. So there's now going to be 2 days of ticket selling. So the people with the album pre-sale code is Friday the 14th of July, and the rest of us who got the access code this week will have to buy tickets.
How are you finding the process?
It's an absolute pain in the face. It's a level of stress that you don't necessarily need. It's very dragged out. So the concerts, the Eras Tour was officially announced in November last year, but she had only announced her American dates. So people in Europe, Ireland, UK, Asia, we haven't had a notion of if she would be coming here
because
at all.
Because they're literally tracking her impact on financial sites like Bloomberg. There's even a phrase, Swiftonomics. What happens when she comes to a city, when you actually get, if you're lucky enough to get it? And we talk about hotels and inflations and everything, but is it just Taylor Swift, or is this what is it, mega advanced sales madness? Is that happening for other artists? Is this just the new way of the world?
This as big as it is, feels like a bit of an experiment as to how a huge level artist like Taylor Swift can actually tour the world. Because with the registration for Dublin tickets, she then added a third date. So that means that
the people want to go.
Sending
people into the beehive collapses again.
Yeah, exactly. But it's because when she last played here in Ireland in Croke Park, she had two nights for Croke Park and neither of them sold out. And there was competitions happening to try and get as many bodies in. So it's a very different kind of tide of fandom that's now happened in Ireland, even though she's always been huge. But
she is. There's no doubt about it. And what we sort of have to remind ourselves is that the demand for these concerts aren't even for this year. It's for next year.
Yeah, who will we be next year? And it's also Pride weekend next year that she's playing in Dublin. So it's a whole other thing.
People must find it as well as frustrating, but is it a fair way or is it the fairest way that these ticket companies can manage big stadium tours like that?
It doesn't feel fair because to buy these tickets, to get the codes, you have to have a lot of free time. So if I, on the 20th, if I'm trying to get tickets and they're having staggered release dates, so it's starting at 11 a.m. For the Friday night gig, and then if you fail on for the Friday night gig, the Saturday night gig goes on sale at 1 p.m. and then the Sunday night gig goes on sale at 3 p.m.
Definitely working from home that day.
Yeah, exactly. I know people who have switched around a lot of work meetings to try and get tickets, but it's free time. We don't know how much the tickets are, so you're just going to have to go into this with blind faith that you can afford them.
But how does the system react? Because last night, and one of our colleagues was raving because she was at it at Lana Del Rey, that was announced at very, very short notice, and so is the system's adaptable or how does that work?
Yeah, so I was also at that. So that gig was announced on June 27th and she played on July 7th. So that was an incredibly quick turnaround. She was in the UK anyway for Glastonbury and she had been doing a select few of European dates. So she's like, why not come to Dublin? And she was lucky that the Three Arena was free.
Why are concert tickets so expensive here?
Why? Well, so the way that ticket sales are kind of broken down is that it's split into 85% goes to the artist, and the artist is the all-encompassing kind of crew, equipment, gear, trucks, gas, insurance, transport, wages for everybody below, and then 15% will go to the promoter. But the way that it has happened now lately is that from 2017, this was a number for a tour on the road, a big, huge tour like the size of Taylor Swift. Even if they're not playing a gig, a day on the road is $750,000. So that is the mega expense that they have to cover.
And what are you paying if you are lucky enough? Most of us, if you even get in there, mortals will be in the pit. But VIP, Gold Circle, like even the range, the scales of tickets and the prices that they attract are crazy.
Yeah, so for the Beyonce Renaissance tour that has just kind of wound up in Europe, the lowest price that you'd pay in would be £56. So that would be kind of seated, not an amazing view, and it kind of goes up, almost doubles in price to kind of standing would be £100, Gold Circle £177, and it would keep going step by step until you're literally sitting on stage next to Beyonce, mere metres away from her, and you would be spending £2,400 on her. So there is this new level of paying your way to be the biggest fan, which is, I find that quite disheartening because it does remove
fairness. Look, I mean, and everything, of course, is online and it's credit cards. And that system must feel very, very exclusive for people, especially during a cost of living crisis. To even have a credit card is often a privilege, you know, to do that. So what about all of those fans? They've excluded. Are we all going to go retro and go to just totally different festivals and sort of eschew all of the big gigs?
Yeah, it is. It's an immediately a cut off for a lot of people, for people who don't have credit cards. I overheard people talking about the Shania Twain gig in Three Arena and how they weren't going to go because they heard that the venue was now cashless. So there is people who are kind of going against this idea of that if you only have your Visa debit can get you in. So it is cutting off a lot of people. And it is really unfortunate because a lot of these acts, they want their fans.
Well, I just feel sorry for all of those Gen Alphas who, unlike me, got to queue and sleep out overnight outside Carlin's Records in Euroskew for U2 tickets, an experience you will never get. But for now, the madness of Swiftonomics. Louise Bruton, DJ journalist, a pop culture enthusiast, thank you for coming in to us today.